Okay, Heather, thank you very much for singing for us. A wonderful, wonderful word. Now, we just want to welcome you all again in the Saviour's name. It's lovely to have you joining with us. We thank you for coming. And we thank all the parents for sending their children to our Sunday school. And we trust that you will accept our thanks for that and continue to do so. And if you know any other children that would like to come in your community or your family, there's always plenty of room here for them. And we are just so delighted to have so many children taking part today and sitting week by week under the Word of God with our Sunday school teachers, who we want to thank very much as well. Coming to the end of a term, it's a big commitment throughout the year, a lot of work involved, not just on Sundays, but behind the scenes as well, getting lessons prepared and also praying for your children. And that's a wonderful privilege to know that your children are prayed for and the Word of God is open to them. We welcome Ryan McKee as well. He's just finished our Bible college last week, and Ryan's going to come and speak to us all now. And Ryan, you're very welcome. Thank you for coming, and may God bless you. So listen with all of our hearts and keep our ears and our eyes open as Ryan comes and speaks to us. Thank you.
Well, it's great to be here this morning. I have to say, I really enjoyed the program. Don't think there was one mistake the whole way through. You sang really well and recited really well, and those who learned scriptures did tremendously well. That was excellent, especially that John 14, 1-6. I don't know if I could recite it just off the top of my head, so well done, whoever that was down there, well done. Well, we're going to turn to God's Word this morning, and we're going to hear a Bible lesson from God's Word. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 6. Now, I'm sure most people, if not everybody, knows this story, but I want you to listen really carefully, because every time we open God's Word and we read God's Word, God speaks to us. And I trust this morning you'll hear what God has to say to you. Now, before we begin, I'm going to have to explain something. I want a wee bit of participation from everybody. Now, the boys and girls have done really well so far, but I want everybody to join them this morning, because throughout the story, I'm going to hold up this number, and it's number one. And whenever I hold up this number, I want you to say, there's only one way to be saved. Okay, boys and girls, let's show them how to do it. There's only one way to be saved. Well done. Now let's everybody else have a go, okay? There's only one way to be saved. Right. Try it one more time. I think we can do a wee bit louder. Everybody in the gallery as well. Excellent. You watch out, because that's coming up. I want one of the boys and girls, or boys or girls out of the Sunday school, to stand up and read for me Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, just the first three words. If you have it there, the first three words, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, stand up and call it out for me. Got any volunteers? Good man. Well done. And God saw. And with those words, we're going to close our eyes, we're going to pray and ask the Lord to speak to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the meeting so far. We thank you for each boy and girl that you've gathered into thy house this morning. We thank thee, Lord, for their ministry to us in song and in word and in scripture recitation. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will bless just now. We pray, Lord, that you'll speak to each heart this morning. We pray that thy word will have free course, that thy word will change lives. We thank thee for the Bible, that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And Lord, if there be those this morning still in their sin, I pray that the Holy Spirit will come, turn them from their sin, cause them to call on the Lord for mercy, to trust this book, to trust the claims of the gospel, and to know what it is to be saved, born again of the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray you'll empty me of self and sin, fill me with God, the Holy Spirit, and may thy word be presented faithfully and with power. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. We read three words in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5, and God saw. They're very short words. They're very simple words. But they're very important words, because they tell us of a time whenever God looked down upon the world that he had created. And when he looked, he saw something that displeased him. You see, this morning I'm standing in this pulpit and I can see you, but I can only see the outside of your body. I can see that all the boys and girls have washed and showered this morning, combed their hair, dressed up really well to come to church. But that's all I can see. I can only see what's on the outside. But the Bible tells us that God doesn't see as man sees, because God can see on the inside. Now, when I can see your face, God can see your heart. And this morning, no matter what age you are, whether you're 4, 5, or 6, whether in your 40s, your 50s, or your 60s, or whatever you are, the Lord sees you as you stand before him. I wonder, how does the Lord see you this morning? How does he see your heart? Are you a Christian? When the Lord looks upon you, does he see someone whose heart has been changed? Someone whose sins have been taken away? Someone who's saved? Are you ready for heaven? Or does the Lord see you the way you were born, as a sinner? Because whenever the Lord looked down upon the land at this time, he saw that every thought of man was sinful. Everything that man did was sinful. Man was sinful. Didn't care about God, didn't care about God's word, didn't want to worship God, didn't want to be controlled by the laws of God. He was a sinner. But God found one man in that place who was faithful. One man who loved him, one man who obeyed him. And his name was Noah. And the Bible tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God spoke to Noah, because you know something, God speaks to his people. God speaks to his children. That's why we come to church each Sunday, so that the Lord will speak to us. That's why we read our word, the Bible, every day, because God wants to speak to us. Christian, I hope you open the word every day and ask the Lord to speak to you, to show you how to live, to show you what he wants you to do. Well, God spoke to Noah, and God said, Noah, I'm going to punish the sin of the people. I'm going to destroy this world by a flood. Noah, I'm going to destroy everyone who is sinful, who is wicked. But I know you love me. And Noah, I'm going to provide a way to escape the judgment. I'm going to provide a way for you to be saved from the flood. And I want you to build an ark. Now, God didn't just tell Noah, build a boat, whatever way you want to build it. God gave him specific instructions, how long it was to be, how wide it was to be, how high it was to be, many windows or doors were to be in the ark, the type of wood it was to be made from. God gave the exact measurements because God had a plan to save his people. And Noah listened carefully, and Noah loved God, and Noah obeyed God. And do you know what Noah did? Noah started to build an ark, but that wasn't the only thing God asked him to do. God also asked Noah to preach and to warn other people, and that's what he did. As he built the ark, he preached and he told them the message of God. He told them that there was judgment coming. They were going to be punished for their sin. He told them that there was going to be an ark of safety, a place where they could be saved, a place where they could be safe from the judgment of God. He told them that they were sinners. You know, this verse was written many years after Noah preached. But I believe Noah preached this message. It says in Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter who you are today. Doesn't matter what your name is. Doesn't matter what age you are. This includes everyone. For all have sinned. See, the Bible tells us that when we're born into this world, we're born as sinners. We're born with our backs against God. We're born not desiring the will of God. We're born not desiring the word of God. How can I show that to you this morning? Well, I wonder if you have a wee baby brother or sister at home, maybe a cousin or a nephew or a niece. Well, you watch them very carefully, and you will find that not too long after they're born, they will start to show little signs of sin in their lives. You know, you won't have to teach a little baby how to have a temper tantrum, or how to throw its food off its high chair, or its bottle down, or its rattle out of its pram, how to bang its fist when it's really cross and angry, how to be shout at its mummy or daddy when it gets really frustrated. You don't have to teach a wee baby how to do those things. You know why? Because they're born as sinners, and that's natural. They know how to do those things. You never had to be taught how to tell a lie, how to steal something, how to try and cover up something so that mom or dad or your teacher wouldn't see it. But you see, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And boys and girls, the same message that Noah preached is the same message we preach in our churches today. That God is a holy God and he will punish sin. Now God will punish the sin of man, woman, boys and girls, not by a flood. But the Bible tells us if we die as sinners, we're going to be sent to that awful place called hell. The Bible tells us that in hell you can't be saved. The Bible tells us in hell you're separated from God for all eternity and you're punished for your sin. But you know, just like Noah's day, God has provided a way to be saved from hell, to be saved from the judgment, to be safe on that day whenever God judges his people. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to die on the cross instead of sinners in their place, that he might take the punishment of their sin. Do you know that that's what Noah preached? Noah preached there's a place of safety. There's a place where you can be safe. And you must come into the ark if you want to escape the judgment of God. You know, God worked a miracle in those days. God worked a very special miracle. You can see here that the animals came to the ark. Now, Noah didn't have to go out and round up the animals. He didn't have to go out and catch them and capture them and bring them into the ark. They came to the ark. Now, can you imagine? One day you're living in Noah's land, you're living in Noah's time, and you see two elephants walking together and they start to come into this big boat that Noah's built. Then two giraffes, two zebras, two dogs, two cats. And all these different animals start to come. And you see, that was proof, and God was showing that what he said was going to happen was true. You see, the animals were coming into the ark because God wanted to preserve two of each kind of animal so that they could live after the flood. And you know what happened? Even though that miracle happened, the people just ignored it. They didn't want to know. They didn't care that the animals were going into the flood. They didn't care what Noah was preaching about. And do you know, in this church, God has wrought many miracles. There are many people in this church who once lived lives of sin, who once lived for the things of the world, who once loved to drink and to go to the places of this world. And yet the Lord saved them. And they're here as testimonies that the gospel is true, that the Bible is true, that God does treat sin seriously, that God does cover the sins of his people when they turn from their sin and trust in him. And perhaps you're not saved this morning. You remember that every saved person around you is a testimony that this Bible is true, that God is real, and that he truly can save sinners. Sadly, in Noah's day, many resisted the truth. Noah preached for 120 years. And in that time, his wife was saved. His three sons were saved. And their wives were saved. But many people ignored. Many people laughed at Noah. You're crazy. Oh, Noah, wise up. God hasn't judged us before. We never had a flood before. What are you building that ark for? Oh, would you be quiet? You're making a fool of yourself. Everybody's laughing at you. Would you not just let that be and come on and enjoy your life? Stop wasting time in some silly fairy tale. Does that sound familiar? That's what a lot of people say today. Whenever a minister says you have to be saved to be in heaven, you must have your sins forgiven, you must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're not saved, you're going to that place called hell. Many people say, would you wise up? That's not true. That's a fairy tale. Perhaps there's even those in this building this morning and really in your heart you're just, I cannot wait till he finishes to get out of here and get out of this nonsense. Men and women, some people laughed. Boys and girls, some people mocked. Many people called Noah names. But that didn't change the fact that God was going to punish them for their sin. God's judgment was going to come. Oh, it didn't come that day. And it didn't come the next day, but on the day appointed, God's judgment did come. And you know what? You may live your life and you may sin against God. And you may do whatever you want with your body in this world. But you know what? God's judgment is coming. There is a day he has appointed that he's going to judge the world in righteousness. And you know what? God's word came to pass. God's word came to pass. And when Noah and his family went into the ark and God shut the door, 7 days later, the water started to come. the rains fail, the floods come up from the earth. And men and women and boys and girls realize it's true. The Bible's true. God is judging sin. We need to be saved. We need to be in the ark. And they started to panic. And I'm sure they started to not go, Noah, let us in. Noah, let us in. We're going to drown. We're going to be killed. Noah, please open the door. Noah, let us in. But Noah couldn't open the door. Noah hadn't shut the door. God had closed the door. And when God closed the door, the opportunity was over. And the people might have called and pleaded and knocked and cried and promised and believed with all their might. But it was too late, because God's judgment had come. And one day we will stand before God. And if you stand as a sinner, after you die before a holy God, friend, it's too late. Oh, I believe now, Lord. I know that the blood is the only way for me to be saved. I believe that your word is true. I believe that I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sin and I confess my sin and I'm turning from my sin, but it's too late. You see, the word of God tells us that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You say, well, I would like to be saved. I would like to be ready for heaven. I would like my sins forgiven. When's the best time for me to do that? The Bible says now, right now, this moment, not tonight, not tomorrow, not next Sunday, but right now, because we don't know if we will see tomorrow. But you can know for sure that you're saved and you're ready for heaven and that you have peace with God. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died as a substitute for sinners. Now, I'm sure many of you watch football and you know what a substitute is. Whenever one of the players comes off the field, another one goes on in his place. And he does what the other player was doing. And that's similar, because we deserve to die for our sins. We deserve the judgment and the punishment of God, but the Lord Jesus Christ was our substitute. And while he hung on the cross, he took the punishment for my sin and for the sins of his people and for those who turn from their sin and ask him to be their Savior. Trust that what he did on the cross can save them. Then the Bible says they can be saved. They will be saved. They shall be saved. Many people were lost because they ignored the warnings of the word of God. But praise God, Noah's family were saved. They came right through the ark. And whenever they came out the other side, you know what they did? And it's already been mentioned in the meeting today. They worshipped God. They built an altar and they praised the Lord. That was their way of praising the Lord for what he has done in their lives. And if you're a Christian, that's something you should do every day. You should pray and thank the Lord for saving you. You should pray and thank the Lord for what he's done in your life, that you'll never be in hell, that one day you'll be in heaven with him for all eternity. I wonder, did you notice something about the pictures that I showed you? Did you notice this picture? This is a very important picture. Because in this picture, there's a door. And it's not just any door. It's the only door into the ark. It was the only way for people to be saved. There weren't any other doors in the ark. Now, people could have gone around the back and tried to get in, but they couldn't because there was only one door. All the animals came through this door. Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives came through this door. And when they came through this door, they came into a place where they were safe, into the place where they would be saved from the judgment. Boys and girls, moms and dads, grannies and grandas, there's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to be safe in the judgment of God. There's only one way to get to heaven. And that's by turning from your sin and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, when I was 7 years old, I had to go into hospital. And I was in hospital for some time and I wasn't very well. And one night in the children's ward, they turned out the lights and they told us to go to sleep, but I couldn't sleep that night. That week in the hospital, a couple of people had died. And we'd heard about it. And I remember that night being scared to go to sleep. I was scared that if that happened to me, I wasn't ready to meet God. I wasn't ready to go to heaven. You see, I'd gone to Sunday school just like you. Up in Muckerfeld, I went to Sunday school every Sunday. I came to Children's Day. I remember I sang and I read poems as well, just like you did. Went to children's meeting. And I heard about the sinner and how the sinner needed to be saved. But you know something? I didn't realize that the sinner was me. I thought it was somebody else he was talking about. I thought it was other people that were sinful, really bad people. But remember what our verse says? All have sinned. And I realized that night that I was a sinner. I wasn't ready for heaven. And I remember that night I prayed to the Lord to save me. I was 7 years old, just the age of some of you. And I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart and to take away my sin and take me to heaven to be with him whenever I died. And I remember that night because that's the night I got saved. On a hospital bed in October 1989, the Lord Jesus Christ saved me. And you know, boys and girls, what he did for me, he can do for you. Moms and dads, grannies and grandads, what he did for me, he can do for you. No matter what life you've lived, if you turn from your sin and trust him, he can cleanse your sin. Blot out that record of sin against your life. He can be your Savior. He can be your Lord. He can give you true life, life abundant, life eternal. He can give you assurance of peace with God. He can make you ready for heaven. That's what you need to do. You know, perhaps you haven't been at church much this year. Perhaps you haven't been at church in weeks or months. I believe that this message is for someone here this morning. Whenever I was in Sweden a few years ago, I was in the college there. And when I was studying there, I heard a story that happened just a few miles from where I was staying. And in Sweden, in wintertime, the lakes freeze over. And from about October through to February, people go out and skate on the lakes. And it's safe to do that because the ice is so solid, there's absolutely no risk of you going through. But you see, from March onwards, the weather starts to get warmer and warmer. And the ice starts to get thinner and thinner, and it starts to get more dangerous. And there were warning signs that were put up around that lake, warning people not to go on because the weather had changed and the ice had started to melt. And two young boys came to the lake one morning and they walked past three signs, three warnings, danger ahead. Danger ahead. They walked past him, and one went on to the ice and he started to jump. The guy goes, "It's okay. It's okay. Sure, it's holding me. Come on, we'll go." They ignored three warnings and he started to skate round and it seemed that everything was fine. And then all of a sudden, he heard a creak. He looked round and his friend had disappeared in below the water. Now, there was a farmer just passing by at that time and he was able to get in and rescue the little boy. But you see, they had gone past three warnings. Three times they were warned. Danger ahead. This morning in this service, I've opened the Word of God. And in reality, it's a warning, isn't it? Danger ahead. God's judging the world. Sinner, if you continue on as you are, that destination for you in eternity is going to be hell. But praise God, there's not only a warning, there's the offer of mercy, the offer of salvation. You can be saved this morning. If you're concerned about your soul, burdened with your sin, don't put it off until tomorrow. Why don't you come to the Savior now? You want to speak to myself, Reverend Higginson, after the meeting? Come and do that. That's what we're here for, to show you from God's word how you can be saved. I trust you'll be wise this morning. I trust you'll turn from your sin and trust Christ as your Savior. Amen.
Now, before we sing our final hymn, we'll just have a word of prayer together. We thank Ryan for speaking to your hearts. But let's just close our eyes, bow our heads, and talk to the Lord. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the clarity of it, Lord. It's been so clear to our hearts. And Father, we thank thee, Lord, that there is a place of safety, there is a refuge from the storms of life and also from the storms of judgment. We thank thee for the Savior who said, "I am the door. by me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And O God, we pray that thou wilt speak to our hearts today. Help us, Lord, to heed the warnings, to run to the Saviour and to trust in him. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt accept our thanks for thy word to our hearts today. We ask in the Saviour's name. Amen. 687 is our final hymn. We'll just sing the first two verses of 687. I don't think it's on the screen or anything, but we'll just take our hymn books there and sing the first two verses, 687. There's a friend for little children above the bright blue sky. 687, and we'll stand as we sing. Just seek the Lord briefly. Father, we thank thee today for our Children's Day service. We ask, O God, that thou wilt prosper thy word in all of our hearts. We pray that thou wilt take us to our homes in safety. Keep us safe, O God, throughout the day. Bless the open air this afternoon. And remember the service again this evening. Pour out of your Spirit, Lord, and speak to our hearts again, we pray. And may salvation visit homes and families this day. We ask in the Saviour's name. Amen.